Nobody out front heard the muffled sounds of eight of their fellows dying. It all took less than a minute.
Anyone hurt?
Ryan stooped and wiped the blood from the Ponga blade on the long duster coat of one of the corpses.
No? Good. Then let's go down into the draw and get moving.
Holy shit! I don't believe it! Seven. No. Eight men. You just ran at them and killed every last one.
The longer it takes before they realize we've gone, then the better chance we got.
And we've just brought the odds down some on our side. They find these good old chills and they'll lose some balls for the fight. Anything helps.
I'm not sure that I can lend the dignity of my office to this butchery. If it wasn't so dark, I'd know all these men. Probably once called them my friends.
Shut up, Baron.
This is my bill. I must insist that...
Ryan grabbed him by the collar, lifting him up on the tips of his toes.
Shut the fuck up, Brennan. It's not your vill. It never will be again. And you don't insist anything. Not now and not ever. Just shut your mouth tight and do what you're told.
Carla took his arm.
Don't speak to him like that, Ryan. He's an old man.
And he won't get any older if he doesn't shut up.
You've got a cold heart, Ryan.
Yeah, but I'm alive. Well, let's move.
The moon vanished behind a swooping bank of dark chem clouds, which brought with them a distant rumble of thunder and the threat of rain. Visibility dropped from adequate to nil. Even Jack, with his heightened night sight, couldn't see more than a couple of paces ahead of them. After Rick, and then Lori, had fallen on the rough ground of the valley bottom, Ryan called a halt.
We go on like this and we'll have a broken ankle. Best stop a while.
But they'll catch us.
It's just a risk we'll have to take right now, Carla.
They could still hear the sound of small arms fire behind them. By now, Ryan guessed that someone in the attacking group would have figured that the birds had flown the coop. From what he'd seen of Zombie, he didn't figure the biker's leader was a great tactical fighter, but surely they would have moved in on the hotel when there was no sign of life.
If we're making for the old park, I can lead us.
What? Is that you, Brennan?
Sure is. I'm mad as hell about all this. Sure, I was kind of shocked for a while back there. Now I want to go and beat that living shit. Pardon me, Carla. The living stuffing out of the moats. I used to play in this draw when I was a kid. I know every rock. Let me go first, and you keep in tight.
I don't know, Ryan.
Me neither.
It's not that much of a risk, I mean it. I feel like someone who has been through a long, dark tunnel. Snakefish is my veal. I can get us there. I've sat it out for way, way too long, Ryan. Not anymore.
It was a difficult decision. Ryan didn't relish hanging around only a half mile from the hotel. He wanted to move along the draw and circle around to come up behind the headquarters of the bikers. But to let the diminutive elderly man lead them? That was something else. The wind was rising from the north. Ryan knew that the old park was near the gas processing plant, on ground a little higher than the ville. But in the almost total blackness, he wasn't that confident of leading the group there. There wasn't much choice.
All right, Baron. Go ahead. I'll follow. You tell me when there's any danger. Holes, ruts, slopes, any kind of deadfall. I'll pass the word down the line. It'll be slow, but it should be safe.
Fine, fine. At least I'll be doing something useful. Get a look at those demons, the moats.
The wind continued to rise, whipping up clouds of dust and sand, making everyone try to cover their mouths and noses. The Baron led the way with surprising confidence, picking his way along the bottom of the draw, calling out occasional warnings that Ryan conveyed to JB and the others. Ryan figured that by now they would have discovered in the center of the vill that the cage was empty. But he doubted many of the good people of Snakefish would be enthusiastic about following the gang of outlanders into the black heart of the Chemstorm.
How far to the park, Baron?
Oh, I'd say about 10 minutes. This wind gets up more, we could have trouble. Folks die in these parts when the twisters start.
Above the endless noise of the wind, Ryan had several times caught the sound of distant thunder. And there was lightning. Not single stabbing forks, but vast explosions of smearing light that covered half the horizon and burned purple images into the retina. The sides of the ravine had begun to close in, giving more protection from the wind. Every now and then, the lightning would illuminate the area immediately ahead. But the path was winding and treacherous, with no sign that they were anywhere near a road. It was good news that they were nearly to their destination. The combination of blackness, the chem storm, and the dazzling lightning was becoming impossible to overcome. Edgar Brennan stopped and turned around, a few paces ahead of Ryan. The static electricity in the night air had made his fringe of white hair stand out like a halo. Behind him, around a turn in the trail, was open space.
Hey, we're here! We made it, Ryan! Made it!
A double-barreled charge hit Edgar Brennan in the center of his back, the impact driving him toward Ryan. He fell face down, arms spread.
Dad!
Knew you'd try this way. Left the others, came out here on my own and waited. Through the wind and the storm, knew you'd come. Get some good Jack from the moats for this.
The voice was unmistakably Zombie's. Baron Edgar Brennan had died instantly, almost at Ryan Carter's feet.
No! Dad, no!
JB touched Ryan lightly on the shoulder.
He's mine.
Zombie walked around the bend in the trail to examine his prize. The smoking scattergun was in his right hand. He was smiling behind the beribboned beard.
Bastards! Figured the bear had done a runner alone.
The biker grinned at them through his jagged, broken teeth.
You're all dead. Every road's blocked. Only way out's past the snakes. You'll all die in the desert. Give up, now!
Kill him, John. Do it to him, now.
Yeah. Do it to me, you little prick. I want to see you do it to me.
Sure.
Motherfucker.
The big man dropped his shotgun, his face contorting with pain. He slumped to his knees, trying to cover the wounds with his hands. Zombie sat back on his heels, his face looking puzzled. His fingers moved from the bullet holes and fell into his lap, resting there.
Feel fucking cold. It's burning me. This really sucks.
Again. Shoot him again, John.
Waste of a bullet. Already wasted one on him.
Then let me, John. He was my father. Give me your blaster.
There's no need. Ryan walked the zombie and pushed him with the flat of his hand. The biker fell limply to one side, rolling onto his back, eyes staring sightlessly at the chemstorm that flared overhead. Tilting his wrist cron so that the numbers reflected the bursts of lightning, Ryan was able to make out the time.
Just after 11.
Can we bury my father?
The wind had eased a little, and the center of the chemstorm seemed to be passing. As the lightning became less frequent, the darkness was longer and deeper. Ryan had kept the others in the shelter of the draw, not wanting to risk leading them into the open. It looked as if Zombie had been on his own, but there wasn't any point in taking chances.
Maybe later, if there's time.
It doesn't much matter. I guess it's not hurting him any. Not now. I'm glad you chilled Zombie for me. For him, John. I'll never forget you for that.
There was an awkward silence between them. The other sat quietly, away from the corpses. Lori was picking dirt off the heels of her boots, wiping the little silver bells clean. Doc was at her side. Jack simply sat still. Rick was lying stretched out, clutching his walking cane. His face was ghostly pale, his breathing fast and shallow. Watching him, Ryan was beginning to wonder whether the Freezy was going to make it, even if they did get past the rest of the Ville and reach the gateway in safety.